Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. And it is a cold day. As we would say in East Tennessee, the frost is on the pumpkin. Now, let me ask you a question to set the scene. Have you ever had someone make fun of you? Yeah, I have too, and it's not much fun. It can be really degrading. But here's a more important thing. Have you ever had your family make fun of you? Well, that would be even worse. But you see, that's what Jesus is going to experience today in John chapter 7. And he is going to be attacked, confronted by not only his family, but all the way through the Pharisees, to the people. So let's just jump into the text and see what's going on. Let me set the scene here. Jesus just healed a man, a paralyzed man, at the pool of Bethesda. And it just so happened he did that on a Sabbath. And the Pharisees get angry and they go after Jesus. A few months pass and we pick up the story in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Being wise, Jesus knew the Pharisees were out to kill him. So he stayed out of Judea, the hot spot. And he stayed in Galilee. Before we jump into the text, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the story of Jesus, how he interacts with the Jews. But help us to get the personal lessons that we can receive from this as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Some translations call this the Feast of Booths, and this is where they celebrated and honored God's protection for them as they were going through the wilderness on the way to the Promised Land. Don't forget that, because we'll come back to it in a few moments. Now Jesus' family gets in on the story. Verses 3 and 4, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here. Go to Judea so that your disciples can see your works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." Look at that verse 4. No one does anything in secret while he is seeking public recognition. In other words, hey, Jesus, you want to show off for the crowds? Why don't you go where the crowds are? Well, and here's why they did that. Verse number 5, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Jesus tells his brothers, this is not the right time. I'll come later. And he explains that the reason that he's careful is because the world hates him, because he's exposed their sin. You see, Jesus exposed the sin of the Pharisees, and that sin is hypocrisy. That's called play acting, or saying one thing when you absolutely know for sure that your heart doesn't reflect what your voice is saying. Now, let me ask you, do you have any hypocrisy in your life? Think about it. Do you have any hypocrisy in your life? You see, hypocrisy is play acting. It's acting one way for one crowd and then doing another with another crowd. That is hypocrisy. And hypocrisy will destroy you, and it will destroy your testimony in the community. Because if you're not walking according to what your voice says, you have zero influence in the lives of people. So don't be that way. So Jesus goes on to the festival. And about halfway through, this is what the scripture says in verses 11 through 13. The Jews were looking for him at the festival, saying, "Where is he?" And there was a lot of murmuring about him among the crowds. Some were saying, "He's a good man." Others would say, "No, on the contrary, he's deceived the people." Still, no one was talking about him publicly for fear of the Jews. Well, I see two things in these verses. Well, first, there's confusion everywhere, and the Jewish leaders are looking for Jesus, and people can't decide who he is. Kind of a normal crowd, don't you think? Well, secondly, the people are afraid to openly speak the name of Jesus because they knew how deeply the Jews hated Jesus. You see, when Jesus exposes your hypocrisy, you have two responses. One, you'll hate him. Or number two, you'll fall at his feet and confess the sin. Each of us have that decision. The Jews' response was hate. And about midway through the festival, Jesus started teaching about the people, recognizing he spoke with wisdom that he had not been formally trained. Well, watch closely how Jesus responds to that. Verse 16, Jesus answered them, "My teaching isn't mine, but is from the one who sent me." Immediately, Jesus gives God the recognition for his teaching. What do we do when someone brags on us? Come on now. What do we do? Do we accept the compliment and say, "Well, yeah, you're right, I'm pretty special"? Or do we deflect the compliment to God who gave us the talents and the abilities? After all, now Jesus sets up the Jews. Verse number 19, "Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" They respond, "You have a demon." Now, wait a minute. That's pretty bad in a Jewish culture. "You have a demon." And they say, "Who's trying to kill you?" Well, they've been exposed. That hate-filled response shows the depth of their disgust for Jesus. But they have taken the bait. Listen to Jesus, verses 22 and 23. "This is why Moses has given you circumcision. Not that it comes from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses won't be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath?" Hey guys, you're being a hypocrite again. You break the Sabbath for yourselves, but you try to kill me because I healed a man completely. That is hypocrisy. Now they're exposed. Look at verse number 24 for his instruction. "Stop judging according to outward appearances, rather judge according to righteous judgment." My goodness, what a lesson for our culture. Don't judge by the surface or appearance. Judge by what is right. And folks, you and I both know what's right. Well, it's obvious what's going on. Confusion is permeating the people. Some say, "Isn't this the man that they want to kill, yet they don't touch him?" Could it be that our religious leaders actually secretly believe in him? You see, the people didn't trust what their religious leaders said. That's a very sad indictment on people who are supposed to love the most and care the most. But for the Pharisees, they didn't have it. The confusion continues even more as Jesus closely associates himself with the Heavenly Father. And because of this, the Jews go after him again. Verses 33 and 34, "Then Jesus said, 'I am only with you for a short time. Then I'm going to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come.'" I'm not sure whether Jesus is making reference to his crucifixion or his ascension and going back to heaven, but the Jews thought he was running away from them. They kind of have a mixed up way of thinking. Now Jesus gets to the heart of why he came to the festival, verses 37 through 38. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." You see, the festival was designed, as we mentioned earlier, for the Jews to celebrate God's protection. But one of the biggest things that God did was to provide them water from a rock. And throughout the 7 days of this festival, folks are carrying water to a particular spot, and I think they're putting them in silver vessels. And on the very last day, the priests pour out that water. This is the day, honoring the day that God gave them water. Then Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts," did you get the symbolism? "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He's connected now to the people. Like I said before, I'm sure that the Jews got the symbolism. Jesus is the water of life. He is life. The Jews got it, but did we get our part? Look at verse number 38 and 39. "The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." Verse 39, "And he said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified." In our day, folks, the Holy Spirit has already been given. And when we get saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that protects us, that infuses us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside. So let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit flowing through you? If so, praise the Lord. But if he is not, why not? You see, I believe so many times we live the life that the Jewish Pharisees were. We're hypocrites. We say one thing to one crowd. We say another to another crowd. We change our attitude and our actions according to who we're around. Folks, that's hypocrisy. And that will, as the Bible says, grieve the Holy Spirit and hold him back from working in our life. So are we living the life of a hypocrite? I don't think God will use us if we do. So what shall we do? Well, simply, we need to live for Jesus 24/7. 24/7, every day, all week long. And let me show you why that's so important. In the words of Edgar Guest, he writes, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusion, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put in practice is what everybody needs." And remember the statistics that we read a few years ago, that the Australian public are looking for Christians who not only talk one thing, but they live that. I believe the examples that we live throughout the week is far more effective in reaching people than anything I'll say on Sunday morning. That personal testimony is so important in reaching people. Let's make sure we're not phonies. So let me ask you, how you living? How you living? Are you living for Jesus 24/7 or otherwise? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this challenging message from the lips of Jesus. Father, help us to learn the lessons that we can apply. Help us to understand the Holy Spirit lives within us as Christians. And He will flow through us and use us if we'll live an honest-to-goodness life and not be hypocritical. So, Father, help us to do that. Now, let's just celebrate Jesus and honor Him through a song, "Yet Not I, But Christ."